Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. A San Francisco startup is 3D printing entire houses in just one day. A new method of storing data in DNA stores 215 petabytes of data in a single gram of DNA. Robots with real muscles and skin. It could become a thing sooner than we imagined. And the Nintendo Switch is having big problems with its little screen. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories for the week of March 8th, 2017. A San Francisco-based 3D printing startup, Aethys Core, has come up with an exceedingly affordable solution for building new houses. It can 3D print concrete walls for a small house in under 24 hours.
What?
I know! 24
hours.
One day. Aethys Core recently used its massive 3D printer to lay down concrete walls on a test home in a site in Russia, where it has a business partner, printing out a cozy but livable 400-square-foot house. The machine, which looks more like a small crane than a conventional 3D printer, spits out layer upon layer of concrete mixture that the company says can last for 175 years. After printing out the walls, the printer is removed and a group of contractors install insulation, windows, appliances, and a roof. It's not entirely clear whether the whole house was finished and furnished in 24 hours or whether or not the walls were just printed in that time. The company says that it can build and furnish these small houses for a cost of about $10,000, and according to the company's blog on the project, the windows and doors were by far the most expensive component. These houses could be used to help quickly rehouse those affected by natural disasters, the company said. They might also be of use in its own hometown, where an influx of technology workers in recent years has created housing shortage crisis for the city.
I'm excited about this too, Sasha.
Oh my gosh.
I really love this.
This is cool.
Okay. So I have to just take it back to Jamaica for a second. So,
all right, man.
Okay. So in Jamaica, Jamaicans, they don't go into debt to build their houses. So they save up money and they buy a cinder block, right? And then they save up more money and buy a cinder block. And then
one block at a time?
One block at a time. And they build their houses one room at a time out of cinder blocks, right? So big houses have just had a lot of years put into them.
Sure.
Right? But if this is only $10,000 furnished, right? So now, oftentimes, these houses don't have windows. Like, they have window spaces, but not actual windows, because they do take more money and time.
Yeah.
But that is incredible for countries like that, right?
Absolutely. But with windows and doors being said to be the most expensive component, but it still is done within a $10,000 budget?
Yeah, and hopefully, yeah. And that's the cool thing, too, is that I'm one of those people who follows the tiny house movement.
Yeah.
And it's just like somebody like
400
me,
square feet is
that's
huge.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So it's like, as a young adult, like being 22 years old, I can't really mortgage a house.
Yeah.
Renting is another option, but get your own plot of land, and there you go.
That is great, and it takes like 15 minutes to clean 400 square feet.
Exactly. And,
although you get a lot of cement dust.
Yeah. Well, you can be a technology minimalist, right? Where you own a lot of things, but it's all only on your computer.
Well, and yeah, and you just put solar panels on the roof and
that's what
have
I'm thinking,
a little
yeah.
wind turbine and you're off the grid.
I can see so many cool uses for this. Even, think about that as as a cottager or something like that, too.
Yeah, and again, even said like for housing crisis and like disasters and stuff, too, that's huge.
Or even the homeless population, right? So lots of places where there's just a settlement of homeless people, it wouldn't take a lot of money to actually fundraise up and have a set of 20 of those houses and have them just a free stop-in place, right? Maybe have them patrolled.
Some foundation needs to be created or adopt this as something that they do. Because if it can be done this cheaply, and I would expect that there's less parts to move. I think about, this reminds me a little bit of modular homes. But homes, they have to be transported. They're built in a factory and they're brought there. And there's a lot of carbon footprint. There's a lot of, in comparison. Well, this is concrete being poured at the site by a 3D printer.
I love it. I love the thought. Even in the States, they have the Tornado Alley or whatever it's called, right?
Concrete is a pretty solid house.
Exactly. Concrete's not going to blow away.
It's a bunker.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd live in one.
I think it looks nice.
I told you it was going to be a great news week.
That's your story number one.
It's so exciting.
Wow. Okay.
What do you got for us next?
10 years ago, if you wanted to back up some of your old photos, you might have stored them on a big, clunky external hard drive that weighed a couple of pounds and was a pain to lug around.
It's true. I might have done that.
You might have done that. 10 years from now, you may back up all the data from your entire life on just a few grams of DNA. Embedded in the code of life, researchers have now encoded a 1895 French film, a computer virus, and a $50 Amazon gift card. This is not the first time scientists have turned to the double helix for storage, but it has always been difficult to encode more than a few hundred characters of data without turning it into an undecipherable mess. In their new paper out on Friday in Science, Yaniv Erlich and Dina Zelensky from the New York Genome Center and Columbia University, respectively, detail a major improvement. Their new method, dubbed DNA Fountain, is able to store a total of over 2 megabytes of data in 72,000 DNA strands and easily retrieve it. The method allows them to pack 215 petabytes of data on a single gram of DNA.
Oh.
Yeah, the DNA Foundation technique is remarkable in its resistance to errors and ability to maximize the storage capacity of DNA. Before we're all walking around with bits of DNA on our key rings instead of flash drives, however, sequencing will have to become significantly cheaper. But that might happen sooner than we realize. This year, Illumina announced plans to bring the cost of sequencing an entire human genome sequencing down to $100. Sequencing a few megabytes of data would cost a small fraction of that.
Wow.
I have a question, though.
Yeah?
DNA.
Yeah?
So... How would you? I don't get it.
Well, I was trying not to laugh halfway through because right now we're carrying like USB drives and stuff.
Yeah.
Because of course that's on like an actual physical. It's a computer.
Right.
When we're shifting to DNA, I was thinking like, do I have to like bring a hamster in my pocket and just have a hamster everywhere I go?
DNA in me. Could you just store stuff in your own hand?
How it works is that they're probably like encoding on like the actual bits of DNA. Because like, as you know, like with a computer, with the bits, it's rather on and off, like the binary, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they're probably doing a similar approach with DNA, just on like that small...
ones and zeros, but it's so...
Somehow, yeah. Yeah, because like I would want to read that paper for like more in-depth information to see how they are doing that.
Because it doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes sense for me for like that idea.
I read it and thought, okay, I have great questions about this.
To be fair, scientists are just figuring this out.
Okay.
So it's okay if it's not quite clear the science behind it to lay people like ourselves.
Because I feel like we're just discovering some things about our own DNA, right? Like,
as far as
illnesses go and everything, we're just like examining our own DNA and that's taken us some time. And now we're going to be storing data onto DNA. I guess it's not our DNA that we're storing data onto.
No, I don't think so. I mean, this isn't Minority Report, right? It would have to be that DNA becomes the data, right?
Yeah, because that's interesting, because I just thought of a science fiction concept, because they said that they were able to encode
it's
an Amazon
done before.
Okay, but
no, but like if they can encode an Amazon gift card on this, does that mean like can you inject yourself with like money or something then?
Right, so then the person
stealing DNA as
well,
money.
Would it be impossible to steal data then because you'd have to be a DNA match to the person?
Ooh.
Right? Like could it be something like that? My DNA is the only DNA that
can unlock that
data.
DNA?
Yeah.
Your DNA becomes the decryption key.
Right.
Wow, we just one-upped the scientists.
Yes.
Nicely done, Sasha.
Good job, guys.
Like it. Yeah. Well done, everybody. Call it a night.
Exactly.
Write it down.
Who needs
write it down.
The
Make sure
you
don't forget. Yeah.
Okay. Oxford University researchers said last week that robots dressed in human flesh would benefit people who need tissue transplants and not benefit anybody's nightmares. Scientists are already growing muscles, bones, and mini organs in the lab, but these tissues are generally small and simple. That's why two scientists from Oxford University are proposing that we use humanoid robots to grow engineered tissues instead. At present, human cells are grown in stationary environments, but their report suggests that moving humanoids could help them develop in a far healthier way. Theory, I agree. Researchers Pierre Alex Mouthy and Andrew Carr propose in the latest issue of Science Robotics that robots could wear tissue grafts before transplantation. Today, sheets of cells are grown in stagnant tanks, but the scientists say that these fail to mimic the real mechanical environment for cells. The resulting tissues aren't accustomed to moving and stretching and straining, which can introduce problems when used by patients. The scientists say it's not only technically possible to do, but also scientifically pertinent that this be pursued.
Hmm.
Yes-ish. Yes-ish. I like that.
Are you scared because this is a robot?
This is like, I love robots, but I want robots to look like robots. I'm scared of robots looking like people.
But would this not just be robots like doing jumping jacks in a lab somewhere and
wearing
moving like this just all
day. Wearing like skin suits? I feel like wearing an Edgar suit from
well,
Men
growing,
in Black.
Yeah. But growing flesh on themselves in order so that you know
like
if they
Terminator.
Need, like, if they need to grow like arm muscles. Well right. they can just do this over and over all day long.
Like
and grow
the
this
test
muscle.
Thing in IKEA. Where they test the seats. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
They have all
like
of the chairs, right? And then
yeah.
they have
I don't
the one
sit
machine
through commercials.
That, like, no, it's in IKEA.
It's technology.
Oh, in IKEA. Oh, I haven't
IKEA.
Been to IKEA.
Ever?
Ever.
What?
Whoa.
It's like on the other side of the earth.
You've heard it here,
Highway
folks.
7. It's on the other
He's
side of Highway 7.
He's never been to
7.
IKEA.
35-minute drive.
I order all of my furniture from Amazon.
Use our affiliate links.
Please
Sponsor.
Do.
But... at IKEA, they have robots that test the furniture ongoing. So
okay.
say it's like a chair from IKEA, mm-hmm. and then they have like a little robot bum that sits in it
oh, yeah?
and gets back up and sits in it and gets back up forever and ever.
It's like a stress test.
Right? So this is what it would do for the skin, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
But it's,
what
still,
doing for
it's
the couch.
Still super creepy. When you
it
think
would
about
be creepy
it.
To look at.
Mm-hmm.
But really
but a
beneficial
good idea.
For all Medi- of the people.
Medically and scientifically sounds like... A very viable proposition.
Mm-hmm. Super creepy, but awesome.
Cool!
Sales figures suggest Nintendo's new hybrid handheld console, which went on sale on Friday, has become the fastest-selling game console in the Japanese company's history, with many stores selling out on the first day of sales and entrepreneur poachers scooping them up and selling them for twice the price. The Switch can be played both on televisions and as a standalone device. But there's a problem. Thousands of owners of Nintendo's new console, Switch, have complained about dead or stuck pixels creating distracting and annoying dark squares on their screen. That would be horrible. Nintendo said that such pixels were normal and should not be considered a defect. In other words, it's your problem, not theirs. But one analyst said in response to the online photos that it was unbelievable Nintendo had let them leave the factory. On a Reddit discussion thread, one user said that he had returned his to the store, and since it was making news, the store let him open boxes for a replacement. Three more devices had dead pixels before he finally found one that looked okay. That's
Man.
Crazy. So, I mean, I realize we're Wednesday and that they were released on Friday.
Mm.
So they obviously wanted to really hit their deadline, right? They obviously wanted to.
Get them
to.
Out. Well, we've seen dead pixels before on, like, computer screens and stuff, but a computer screen being this big
yeah,
with one dead
notice.
Pixel, I hate that there's a dead pixel, but at least it's, you know, it's this big and it's one pixel among them, right? But when you've got a little tiny thing in your hand and there's one dead pixel and it's only this big, it's going to be like a...
Well, that's
the
thing,
right?
What causes
a dead pixel? Is it a problem with the actual screen itself?
Yeah, well, it's the technology behind it. There's you know, millions of little lights.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if one of those lights doesn't work...
Then they're just okay with it.
There's a lot of potential.
So the point that I'm making, so there was the push for timeline to get this out, right? Much the
Always
same
the case,
as
right?
lately with phones and such,
let's say Samsung,
right?
Yeah.
There's a push to get the product out. Mm-hmm. Maybe instead of making an unrealistic timeline, actually say to the public, listen, we're just having some issues right now with the screen and we want it to be perfect for you. So instead of March 3rd, we're going to release this. Let's just say we're going to release it maybe in another month or two, just so that you get a perfect product.
And this seems like a good time to bring up Star Trek Discovery.
Why?
Pourquoi?
Because they said it's not ready yet. We know we said May, but now they're saying it's going to be sometime later in 2017.
See, I respect that. That is my point.
See,
exactly.
I can respect that. But it still hurts.
But wouldn't you rather the perfect product?
I definitely would.
Right?
I think Star Trek needs to do it right, as does Nintendo, and Nintendo
as
should.
Did Samsung need to, right?
Samsung said, send us your phone back, we'll give you this, this, or this, and it was reasonable, and yeah, we made a mistake, we're gonna make good on that. Mm-hmm. Nintendo saying, too bad, so sad, you got dead pixels.
Mm. Well, they'll retract that, I bet you. They will retract that, or they will... crash and burn.
It happens with every games console. That's the issue, is that we've seen it throughout the console generations, especially, for example, one of the more famous defects was the Xbox 360, the red ring of death issue, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is that it's a new console, it's in its first weeks of being released, right?
We are going to be early adopters, right?
That's why I never pre-order anything anymore. But I'm not surprised to see these defects. Like, there's even been talk about issues with the two controllers having connection issues.
Oh, no.
Them trying to, like, update through software. But that's the thing. If it's a hardware issue, you can't fix that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I was not really surprised to hear about this, unfortunately. But then again, I haven't been around Nintendo for a few years.
I think it'll get good, and then they'll maybe offer, like, trade in your old one with dead pixels for something else, maybe.
Traditionally, I don't know that they will
get good,
but we'll see. Time will tell.
Listen to me, Nintendo. This is the way it should
I think
happen.
Nintendo should, especially if this is possibly their biggest seller of all time, and it's only a couple thousand folks that are reporting this issue. But it does sound like
it's bad PR, right?
Word
of mouth travels fast.
Are you an early adopter of the Nintendo Switch or any other product that has been a disappointment for you? We'd love to hear about it. Comment below.
No, Dennis made a good point, is no, they're going to make you buy an upgraded one, right? Because like, you see a PlayStation like 4, PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah.
Are they going to have like a Switch Pro?
The new Switch Plus has no dead pixels.
How long?
that's your upgrade.
The product you thought you were going to get in the first place.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.